This is a Radio 1 91 FM podcast.
I'm now joined by another Wellingtonian, a Ponikia native, or not necessarily native, but a Ponikia resident nonetheless, Mr. Amos Mann. Good morning, how are you doing?
Kia ora, yeah, great to be here.
Very good to have you on for the second time in the year, technically, because I had you on the Deepak Late Breakfast in March, where we talked about your EP Supermassive.
Excellent, yes, that's right. Yep, that was great to be able to share that with the world.
Mm-hmm. Was that the last time you were in Dunedin for 2024?
I think you're right. I've actually spent most of my life in Otiputi in Dunedin, moved to Wellington about 10 years ago.
Yeah, fair enough. Some people have to do it. You have to do it to them sometimes. We're here to talk about your new soundtrack for your experimental documentary, For a Puppet to Live. Are you very into puppetry yourself?
Well, I'm not closely connected with the puppetry community, but when I first moved to Wellington, one of the first friends that I made was Rose Beecham. And Rose is a tremendous Aotearoa creative, an activist, and puppeteer. Mm-hmm. And in her life, she did a lot of puppetry around the anti-nuclear and protest movements. She was a member of Red Mole Theatre Company. Mm-hmm. And she formed the... soon after I met her, she formed the Out of the Suitcase Puppetry Festival and ran that for a few years. Mm-hmm. She passed away in 2022, sadly.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah. But there's a new festival that's come about, and it's a revitalization of her work, and that's the Wellington Puppetry Festival. Oh. And so I was very pleased. The film, For a Puppet to Live, premiered at that festival.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, I felt like... it was an honour of Rose and her incredible work in this area.
Yeah. It comes full circle, and the work she did lives on through other means.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. As I mentioned with you before, I talked about you in March, about the release of your EP, Supermassive. What have you been up to since then?
Yeah, well, I've been working on music videos for a number of the tracks on Supermassive. Mm-hmm. in my creative practice, and so there's a music video now for the title track Supermassive that received honorable mention at Berlin Music Video Festival Awards.
Whoa.
So that was great. Also a music video for Dynamics of a Feel.
Oh, thank God. That's my favorite song from that EP.
Yeah, well, yeah. Check out the music video on YouTube or my website, and I really enjoyed putting that together, and uses quite a few interesting older and more recent experimental techniques, infinite zoom, mm-hmm. and a sort of motion extraction technique, and as well as single frame cuts. Yeah, so going back to some early film experimental roots there with the single frame cuts.
Mm-hmm. Cool. I'll have to give that a geese after the show today, because, yeah, I love the boom-bappy kind of hip-hoppy almost production on that track. It reminds me of, a few people who I've been listening to lately, like Handsome Boy Modeling School. Are you familiar with Dan the Automator?
No, I gotta check them out.
Oh, he produced like Clint Eastwood by the Gorillaz.
Right. Yeah.
So he's got, I just love that boom bappy sound. You know, I think it you definitely fit into the boom bappy kind of vibe there, which is awesome.
The AI algorithm call it trip hop.
Mm, yeah, I guess it is trip. Yeah, very trip hoppy. Yeah, super trip hop. The new soundtrack you've just done is for a documentary you did a while back called For a Puppet to Live, which premiered in September at the Wellington Puppetry Festival, as you mentioned. Is there quite the puppetry scene up in Ponikia?
Yeah, well, with this festival, I think it was drawing people from around the country and really around the world. The film is focused on a rehearsal from this puppetry group, Naranjate, who are actually a Spanish puppetry company, Anna and Sergio, and they traveled the world performing puppetry and using puppetry in education. Many, many countries around the world enjoyed their performances, and then they've now settled in rural Waikato.
Oh wow! Yeah. Cracker! What a turnaround, eh? What a story! How'd you come to collaborate with them originally?
Yeah. So I have a great friend from high school at Logan Park High School, Katrina Chandra, mm-hmm. and she's a tremendous theatre practitioner, and has worked with a number of puppetry companies around the world. You might have run across the Snuff Puppets Theatre Company in Melbourne. She was a member of that company. They do these giant puppets of human body parts.
I'm going to give them a look right now.
Yeah, pretty amazing stuff. Anyway, she was involved with them and others and many other forms of theatre as well.
Uh-huh.
And she happened to be in the town I live in, Paikakariki.
Uh-huh.
I live close to the beach here. We were going for a walk on the beach, and she said, "Hey, look, there's my friends, Sergio and Anna." And she introduced them to me. They were in Paikakariki also, and Katrina was going to be working with them, doing some stage direction and providing some feedback on the development of their new show. Mm. And I said, "Well, hey, can I film? Can I please film your rehearsal?" So they were rehearsing in the small hall around the corner from me, St. Peter's Hall, mm-hmm. which receives a lot of amazing concerts. Every week there's lots of people who are touring the country play at that hall just mm-hmm. around the corner from me. We're really lucky. And so I recorded I filmed the rehearsal. I was able to get up really close so it's as if you're on stage with them as they're rehearsing and developing.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a real, the film's really a celebration of the creative process.
Yeah, and I want to touch on that in a second. First of all, the snuff puppets are insane. You are very correct. Holy shit. They're immense. They're so big. And second of all, I do want to touch on the specific marionette who was filmed in this. It's Nito the marionette. Was that the only puppet that they were practicing with at the time?
No. Okay. Actually, their show involved quite a number of different puppets and a wide range of puppetry techniques.
Mm-hmm.
One of the most innovative puppets that they were rehearsing with, I was completely blown away. It was a puppet, a life-size human figure, completely made of scrunched paper.
Wow.
And it had such tremendous personality and gesture, and you were right there with this puppet made of scrunched paper. It was absolutely stunning. So I filmed all of the rehearsal and all of the different work they were doing, but when it came to editing the creative approach that I wanted to take with the film, I really wanted to focus in on the one puppet, and that was largely because of the interactions between the puppeteer, the puppeteers, really, the human performers, and the puppet, and you see this sort of mirror quality and these and this sort of call and response at times, and these different sort of gestural dynamics between these figures performing together, and I think that's really special and really captured in a really lovely way on film.
Mm-hmm. I think that's a very good point, and it is very intimate. And the puppet does do some pretty funny things, like tapping its foot on a bell. And kind of like swimming through the ear was my, I think a highlight for me. And you're right, I think it does really inject a sort of life into the marionette that, you know, typically, you know, if you're being a pawn of someone, you call it being a puppet, you know. But what this shows is that actually it's much more of a reciprocal thing.
That's right, exactly. Yeah. The puppet has a life of its own. But in the title of the film, For a Puppet to Live, that comes from something that Anna told me during the rehearsal process. And it's one of the themes of their show, really, or one of the underlying sort of philosophies of their show. And it's, for a puppet to live, what needs to die? And it's about the way, and this is true of many kinds of performance and many kinds of and music making and many kinds of situations where the performer becomes a servant mm-hmm. of the performance. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's true here. I'm trying to find the right word. It's like your ego has to be given over to the performance, and in this case it's to the puppet mm-hmm. and that is what gives life to the puppet
mm-hmm. and I guess
she put it so much clearer than me, but that I was really struck by that philosophy.
Yeah, for sure. And I guess also in some of the other kind of performances you are getting subsumed by your ego, I guess, for a lot of like AAA star kind of power people, they get totally subsumed by it.
Well, in some ways that's a form of a facade at some level as well. So of course, for there's also authenticity comes into this as well.
Mm.
And I think without that authenticity you don't have that authentic communication that performance can bring. However, that's a kind of a different aspect to what we're talking about.
A total tangent, yeah. You've called this an experimental documentary. I want to know what that term means for you. I have a couple of ideas as maybe why. Is it because it shows the work of the puppetry as well, and not merely just the puppet, and because it shows the two people involved in that puppet production making an entirely new scene? What do you think it is about this that makes it experimental?
Yeah, well, I think what you've touched on there is the documentary part of that.
Mm.
Rather than it being a video of a show, mm. or the video of the show, as it were, it's really a film that is capturing some of those the creative process and celebrating that creative process and bringing you in a way much closer to that creative process. Rather than you're on the audience side and you're observing what's going on a stage,
mm-hmm.
and or the finished result that's on the stage, and so that's the kind of documentary, that's the story that's being told at some level, but the experimental side of it is that story is being told through gesture, through visuals, through filmic techniques such mm-hmm. as through editing, through double take editing, for example, through superimposition,
mm.
through a number of experimental techniques, that story is told, and just the fact that it's a documentary that's told without dialogue,
yes.
or interview, you don't. The only sound is the musical soundscape, or the soundtrack. The musical soundtrack is the only sound you're hearing. Oh, and the sound of the bell.
Mm, yes. speaking of creative process and the music, the soundtrack has some very Latin-y, jazzy grooves to it. How do you approach creating the soundtrack?
Yeah, so really I approached it by conceiving of it as a soundtrack. So mm. rather than saying I'm going to create a piece of music and then it'll go with the video and then it'll be like a music video, rather than taking that approach, I edited the film and finished the edit and then composed the soundtrack to the film. And so I began, all right, it needs to be a piece of music that's this long. I want it to be one piece of music.
Mm.
It needs to be this long. It begins with this kind of energy. What's the energy that it needs to have? What are the instruments? What are the hit points? Mm. Where does the energy build? Where does it fall back? And that's the approach that I took to composing this. The genre really kind of evolved quite naturally when thinking about the energy and the dynamics
mm.
and the tempo.
Mm.
It's quite a fast tempo, so sort of bringing all of that together. And And that's really the one of the approaches that film scoring takes. What I've just described there. Mm-hmm. What's really interesting to me is what resulted is a piece of music that's very similar to music that I was making when I was 16 years old.
Oh, really?
An improvisational jazz group in Dunedin. I was in a band called Beatnik Jam with a great friend of mine, Jason Smith, and we had a regular gig at Governor's Cafe.
Oh, yeah.
On George Street.
Classic,
Every Thursday night. And we had guest performers with us, and
just cutting out a little bit there. Goddamn Zoom. Zoomy, zoomy, zoom. What is going on here? This is the second time it's happened today.
During its heyday in the 90s.
Mm-hmm. You kind of, after you said Governor's Cafe, it cut out a little bit, unfortunately. So we may never know what you said before. But it does seem as though the internet is not cooperating very well. But thank you for coming on the program today, Amos. It was fantastic chatting with you.
Yes, wonderful. Yes, I released the soundtrack as a single, so it's available on all major platforms for streaming or download. And this is to celebrate the fact the film screened at a number of festivals now. Also, Kerala, India, it's been picked up for an experimental documentary film festival.
Wow. That's so cool. Mate, congratulations.
Thank you very much, yeah.
Thank you. Thank you so much for coming on the program. I'm sure we'll be chatting again in the near future, talk more about your creative endeavors, because you are a very immensely creative person. So thank you again for coming on.
Ah, excellent. Thank you very much. And see you again, Jack.
Take care.
Zach.
Close call. Thank you. See ya. All right, folks. That was Amos Mann. We're chatting about his new soundtrack to the documentary he made, which is called For a Papa to Live. You can find this wherever you get your tunes. We're going to play it to you right now. You're listening to Radio 1. Keep it locked.
Thanks for listening to Radio 1 91 FM podcast. All of our content lives online at r1.co.nz.